Bom dia a todos. Obrigado por sua participação e
Good
bem-vindos.
morning, everybody. Thank you for your attendance and welcome to the earnings conference call for 2024 for Eneva. We will begin with slide four with the main highlights for the period. We started the year with another operationally strong quarter, with EBITDA reaching 1.089 billion. This represents an increase of 13% vis-à-vis the first quarter 2023, if we disregard the effect of the MTM of the trading company, which grew strongly in the first quarter of 2023. The cash flow, the operational cash flow, reached its highest historical value because of our operations exceeding 1.1 billion BRL for the first time. In addition, the results support the investment flow required to deliver our first growth cycle. Now, this significant result also contributed to controlling our leverage, which closed the quarter while we have the scale and LN project, Parnaíba 5 and Azulão 950 projects. The expressive cash generation of this quarter also contributes to controlling our leverage, which closed the quarter at 4.1x net debt over EBITDA, closing the quarter at around 0.5x lower when we compare this with the same period last year. The main items that contributed to this result were the continuity of regulatory dispatch to serve the national interconnected service and resumption of energy exports to Argentina. The continuous evolution of the operational indicators of Jaguatirica to TBT, which reached 99% average availability and presented a record of generation since it began operating. Our financial discipline reflected in the SG&A and O&M costs, with a reduction of 20 million reais in the company costs and showing us a quarter of a reduction in our fixed margins. The year 2024 has also seen important progress in the financial, corporate, and strategic front. S&P reaffirmed the highest level of rating for the company, as well as promoting our credit outlook to stable, recognition of the evolution, solidity, and resilience of our fundamentals. We have completed the company's 10th issue of debentures and will be able to restructure part of our debt, increasing the duration and reducing the cost. We also concluded the incorporation of the main subsidiaries in the holding, optimizing the fiscal and company structure, and making the most of the synergies, especially in the administrative and fiscal areas. I would like to remind you that at the end of April, we ended the term for contributions for the holding of the reserve capacity auction of 2024, scheduled for the second quarter this year. The Ministry of Mines and Energy will analyze the contributions to publish the measure of the auction. Eneva has its assets ready in incentivized areas with access to gas reserves and with proprietary gas generation, which makes our offer highly competitive. We continue determined to increase the value of our existing assets and to ensure new monetization cycles for our assets, while we continuously assess the different business opportunities that arise for a company that has a varied portfolio and unique competencies in the Brazilian energy sector. I would like to give the floor to Marcelo Habibe, who will speak about the cash flow. Thank you, Lino. A good morning to all of you. We now go on to slide number five. The record Cash was 1 billion reais, representing an increase of 330% compared to 2 years ago before we began to grow in the company. The first result is due to a history that has been built through time, through different fronts to generate value. I will go through each initiative in the slide, but would like to highlight some. We stabilize the projects that we won in the auction. They have increased the movement of fixed revenues and the efficiency of our asset base, improving the way we monetize our gas. Secondly, we carried out M&A operations, acquiring assets that provided us high levels of return with a significant flow of contracted fixed revenues and broadening our range of possibilities in the gas and energy chains. This was the case with Hub Sergipe, Termo Fortaleza, and Focus. We diversified our sources of revenue through a more active commercial stand and opportunistic bias. We started exporting energy, opening a perennial window of efficient monetization for our gas. Additionally, we have one of the largest trading companies in Brazil. More than just increasing our cash flow and the strength of our balance sheet, our initiatives have also brought new skills and possibilities, which will soon translate into new business models, projects, and new business models, and a new source of revenue. As we had expressive growth in our operational cash flow in the last 24 months, we already have contracted new projects such as small-scale LNG, UTE Paranda, and Azulão 950, which will guarantee the same trajectory over the coming quarters. We go on to slide 6, where we present highlights on the liability management front this year. To enable the company to grow sustainably, we're constantly looking for ways to optimize our capital structure. The 10th issue of debentures worth a total of 2.5 billion BRLs concluded a few days ago was another of the company's initiatives to improve our debt profile. In May, we paid the full prepayment of the 7th debenture issue, and we will also settle the second series similar to what was raised. As a result, the level of indebtedness has basically remained stable, but we made important gains in the maturity, cost, and profile of our debt. In the graph to the left, we can see after the restructuring at the end of March that we increased our debt exposure to IPCA by 7 percentage points, aligning exposure by the company's fixed revenues. In the graph to the right, we see the effect of our amortization schedule, which now has longer terms, reducing principal maturities in 25, 26, and 27, and concentrating on the period after 2028. We made these movements without sacrificing the cost of the debt, quite the contrary. The new debts are also less costly, with the average cost of consolidated debt reduced by 20 basis points to IPCA plus 5.4% per year. Additionally, as an important recognition of the improvement in our capital structure, we recently had the reaffirmation of the AAA rating by S&P. And for the company debentures, the agency also updated Eneva's long-term credit outlook to stable, reflecting its view on the company's solid fundamentals and robust outlook, even in a scenario of acceleration of investments. In slide 7, I would like to speak about the optimization initiatives for cost, our strong financial discipline and management of expenses have led to savings for yet another quarter, allowing us to improve the company's operational efficiency. In the graph to the left, we see a nominal reduction of 19 million reais in the cost of operations in the first quarter of 2024 vis-à-vis the first quarter 2023. A large part of the results come from two operations: UTE, where we achieve savings with product and service costs related to the operation and the operational progress of the asset, and in the Sergipe Hub, where we achieved a significant reduction in costs reflecting the optimization completed after the acquisition with a renegotiation of costs with asset insurance policies and lower personnel costs. In SG&A, we had a nominal drop vis-à-vis the same quarter last year. This was the lowest SG&A level in the last 12 months. This is a relevant scenario as it occurs amidst the growth of the company, and it shows our financial diligence. We now go on to slide number 9, where we present the main impacts on EBITDA in the quarterly comparison. In the first quarter of 2023, we had a reallocation of energy sale contracts to the trading company. This opened room for the trading of the complex and allowed us to subsequently review our contracts. We were able to work with migrated contracts with a positive one-off contract of 1 million reais last year. When we eliminate the evaluation of MTM, we had a growth of 107 million in the EBITDA of the company, a growth of EBITDA in practically all segments because of our sound operational performance this quarter. Among the main positive effects, the EBITDA of generation of Parnaíba had a growth of 98 million, with an increase in both the fixed margin and in the variable margin reflecting the greater average regulated and export dispatches in the period. Upstream contributed with 17 million reais, with an increase in variable revenues and margins in the period, driven by the variable revenues and margins in the period because of dispatches at Parnaíba and the evolution in dispatch in Jaguatirica II. Now, Sergipe Hub contributed 40 million reais to EBITDA, mainly due to the growth in the fixed margin and the reduction of fixed costs and O&M. The start of commercial operation of solar generation in Futura in the second quarter 2023 was also added to the EBITDA for the period, contributing with 46 million reais as a result of fixed revenues coming from bilateral contracts. Jaguatirica II recorded a growth of 48 million reais, a result that reflects the stabilized assets' first full quarter for the plant. In addition, the holding improved its EBITDA, mainly due to general and administrative expenses in the period. The main negative impact on EBITDA in the quarter was due to the closure of operations of Fortaleza, recording a drop of 48 million. This effect was offset by the other segments in the quarter. We now go on to slide number 10, where we have the main impacts of the financial area. The net financial result was negative in 700 million reais this quarter, compared to a negative result of 435 million in the same quarter last year. Now, this variation was basically caused by a non-cash effect of exchange rate variation and some accounting increase included because of some projects. The exchange rate generated a non-cash effect of 155 million reais on the lease of the Sergipe Hub. On the other hand, at the same period this year, this line item was benefited by 90 million reais in the result because of the devaluation of the exchange rate that quarter. Now we have another effect of in our financial result of expenses and debt previously capitalized relating to Futura 1 project. In the first quarter last year, this asset was still under construction.
And now moving on to slide 11, we have the variations in cash flow for the first quarter of 2024. We ended the first quarter of 2024 with a cash position of 2.4 billion BRL, slightly below the value of December, but with an important milestone for the company. As I said, our operating cash flow exceeded 1.1 billion reais mark, reflecting our solid operating performance in the period. Other effects include investment cash flow of 602 million reais, mainly for our projects under construction, such as Azulão 950, liquefaction plant in Parnaíba, and also Parnaíba 4. The financial cash flow totals 708 million BRLs, with main impacts being payoffs and interest payments for the period and lease payments, mainly dedicated to FRSU and tugboat in the Sergipe hub. In slide 12, we can see the net debt of the company, which closed the quarter with 17.4 billion BRLs. As Lino commented, our leverage remained under control, presenting an evolution in the annual comparison from 4.6 times at the end of 2023 to 4.1 times at the end of the first quarter of 2024. On the right side graph, we can see the effects on deadlines and average cost of the debt after conclusion of this liability management stage now in May. In addition to lengthening the maturities and the average term of the debt from 5 to 5.6 years and increasing the exposure of the total debt to the IPCA, hedged naturally by our fixed revenue. We also reduced the average cost of the debt, expressing the cost of the consolidated debt in terms of IPCA. Plus, we observed a reduction of about 20 basis points in the cost of the debt from IPCA plus 5.6% in the end of the first quarter. And the values and pro forma effects of the restructuring of the debt. I now turn over to Andrea. Well, good morning, everyone. In slide 15, we can see the investments made by the company in the quarter, totaling 421 million BRLs, mainly intended for projects under construction and upstream activities in Parnaíba. In the Azulão 950 complex in the Amazon, a total of 125 million BRLs was invested in the quarter, with emphasis on the 89 million allocated for the settlement for the settlement of the construction installments of the turbines, 11 million BRLs destined to proprietary engineering, and 11 million related to payments of the EPC for the fulfillment of these project stages. In these plants, which we were building in the Paraná complex for the sale of liquefied gas and service to Vale, Suzano, and New Markets, we invested 78 million BRLs, referring to payments reaching different phases of the project, in addition to 21 million BRLs in liquefaction equipment, including logistical costs. In upstream, 56 million BRLs were invested in the quarter, with emphasis on 38 million BRLs invested in the exploration and 17 million for the development of the Mateiro and Gavião Belo fields. And finally, we invested a total of 47 million BRLs, which were mainly intended for the provision of services, totaling 45 million BRLs in the quarter. And now in slide 16, I'm going to talk a little bit about the update of the recent milestones in the Parnaíba project, the LNG project. The project has a 94% compliance to the schedule, being 100% contracted and with all equipment assembled. Highlight goes to the following milestones: the conclusion of the assembly of all of the equipment of the liquefaction plant and the regasification plant, the conclusion of the commissioning of the 32 cryogenic trailers, and the conclusion of the hydrostatic tests carried out in the interconnection pipe with gas treatment unit. As the next milestones for the next quarter of 2024, we plan to conclude the electromechanical assembly of the liquefaction plant and the commissioning of the regasification unit. We also estimate that the beginning of the operation of the plant will take place in July 2024. Now, in slide 17, I would like to introduce the updates of the Azulão 950 project. Currently, the physical compliance of the project is 95%, with physical progress of 22%. I highlight that the civil construction has advanced by more than 45%, and we have already concluded the piping and connection of clusters 4 to the UTG, as well as the beginning of the assembly phase of the 750-ton crane. We also concreted the turbine pedestals. We have also done, or actually, I would like to call your attention to some regulatory achievements. Among them, the gas pipeline and TPP installation license and authorization of plant suppression, and the conclusion of all of the civil construction for this half of the year. By the end of 2025, we will have concluded the energization of the plants, and the combined cycles will take place in 2026. And now, in slide 18, I would like to highlight the updates of the Parnaíba 6 project. It is in the final phase of construction and assembly, with basically total physical compliance to the schedule and 93% accumulated physical progress. We concluded the production of the first demineralized water and energization of the transformer, the hydrostatic test, and the commissioning of the CEMS. We also started the flushing of the oil system of the turbo generator and also the lube test for the TGV and BOP. In the second quarter, we will carry out the hydrostatic testing of the steam recovery boiler, and by the end of the year, we will conclude the mechanical assembly and start the commercial operation. In January 25, we will start activities, and I now turn over to Felipe Valverde for the Q&A section. Thank you, Andrea. Good morning, everyone. We will now start our Q&A session, and I'd like to remind you that eventual questions should be made using the Zoom platform. We have already received the first questions here. Could you comment on the current hydrologic scenario and what impacts it would have for the second quarter of 2024, and in case you have any opinion about this, and how the La Niña phenomenon could impact the scenario? Well, thank you, Carol, for your question. This year, we have had a significant volatility in the water scenario in the market. Summer was very dry. After November, December, January, and February, with low levels much below the historic average, in March, rain levels went back to the historical levels, reverting a trend that we had for increased prices. However, in April and talking a little bit about La Niña, because La Niña brings a lot of rain to the south. And it did happen. We can all see the very sad situation we have in the south region of Brazil. But this rain was very concentrated and does not really help us in terms of energy provision, so that in April we went back to a situation where our water levels are well below the average in the southeast. So much so that this volatility brings a lot of uncertainty. In the end of the year, we believe that the Brazilian electric system will have a dispatch related to power, and the trend is for it to be amplified due to energy requirements. In March, we had some mitigation, but if the April drought lasts for a few months, this is a possibility, in special in the last quarter, around November and December, if the rainy seasons for the next year is delayed. So as it happened and is only normal in this sector, we have a lot of volatility dispatching due to potency is something that will happen. Energy dispatching is less likely, but it's not something we rule out for November. Well, the second question asked by Carol is about growth. Regarding growth, could you update us on the assets that are in your radar, for example, a possible M&A for Eletrobras thermal plants? Well, good morning, Carol. Thank you for your question. Unfortunately, we do not have any updates or anything that we can share with you right now. This is a public transaction. We are interested, but we have nothing to comment about it right now. But we will, rest assured, do so as soon as we have any news. Thank you very much. Well, the second part of her question about growth has to do with the expectations for the capacity auction, both because of a possible delay for the date of the auction, also because of the duration of the AP period and also the size of the thermal product. Thank you, Carol, for your question. We all followed the auction. It was delayed 1 month. It was closed in the end of April. We believe that this month delay will probably lead to another delay in the update of the auction, which was originally in August. Now our expectation is for September, but we're still not sure. It depends on the Department of Energy. So, because of the demand, we do believe in the projections based in the last EPE study, where there is an aggregate demand combining Project 27 and 28 for a 1 giga for the thermal plant. And we do not believe that the battery or hydroelectric power plants will be included in the auction. If they do, they will not have an impact on this demand because the nature of the product offered by the hydroelectric power plant, because of safety and non-dependence of this product, will not suffer any impacts in case we add anything. And the numbers we're working with internally is 8 gigas, and it will be divided between product 27 and 28. Thank you, Luciano. We have received a question about commercial products. We have some important initiatives, and we would like to ask you to update us on the supply contract with 1.1 million cubic meters, the remaining capacity for Sergipe, and the plants in Parnaíba.
Thank you for the question regarding the gas table and the amortization of the Sergipe Hub. As we informed you on Sergipe Day event, we're very close to signing the first long-term contract for the supply of gas based on a flexible modality with a thermoelectric plant. We still have not concluded this. That is why we have not communicated to the market. The discussions are well advanced as part of our thesis to monetize the Sergipe Hub. What we would like to do is service other thermoelectric plants. The expansion of the Sergipe project itself, which is one of the projects that Eneva has in the next capacity auction. Now, regarding the monetization of the remaining capacity, we hold conversations with several potential clients, and we hope very soon to be able to announce novelties. What we have underway is a public call that is very well positioned when it comes to competitiveness, and we hope to be able to give you good news regarding this very soon. Thank you, Marcelo. Congratulations on your results. If you could speak about your budget for the other quarters of the year, especially regarding CapEx, we see there is a drop in the Azulão 750 project. Is this something for the quarter, and what can we expect for upcoming quarters? Now, regarding the CapEx flow for Azulão 750, we had several milestones with the equipment supplier that are located at the end of the quarter. We have a delay of a fortnight, so this means the flow will be similar to the other levels we had previously. We have this time displacement only of a fortnight, as you can see. Well, thank you, Lino. We have received a question here on the participation of minority groups. If you could speak to us about the 7 million dispersed in these minority participations. They weren't dispersed, they were simply accounted for, to explain this clearly. Secondly, this amount, the full amount, reflects the minority participation that we have nowadays for Itaú in our Parnaíba complex. It's due to the sale of shares that we carried out last year vis-à-vis the profit of the thermoelectric complex, excluding the part of the IPO. Thank you, Bibi. We have another question on the company optimization, the administrative optimization. If you could speak to us about the incorporation of Celse in the holding, and if you could refer to this movement. Yes, the incorporation of Celse is well advanced. There is only one stage that we still have not concluded, the approval of the transfer of some environmental licenses of Celse to Eneva, to the parent company, the holding. And this license depends on the approval of IBAMA. IBAMA is an agency that is on strike, and we do hope that at the end of the first half of this semester, we will conclude that. Once this is concluded, it will bring about three main benefits for the company. Nowadays, Celse is the main cash generator of the company, and to have that cash generation as part of the holding will, of course, be very positive for the company, especially in the holding where we have the greatest disbursements. We have the contribution of projects, Azulão 750, And having cash in the right place, of course, will be very important for cash generation. Secondly, by incorporating Celse, we're going to add value to this acquisition, and this will be amortized through time, reducing our taxation base in the company. And finally, in the holding, the company presently has a fiscal loss, an accumulated fiscal loss of 2.5 billion reais, and we're going to use that fiscal optimization to reduce to zero the income tax that will be paid by Celse. So these are the three benefits that we will be able to count upon as of the second half of this year.
Well, thank you, Marcelo. We have received the last question here on the demand from Argentina. If you could comment on the demand scenario in Argentina, will the demand for exports increase, and which are the more competitive players in this?
Thank you for the question. We do believe there will be demand. In truth, there already is demand. Argentina has not imported from Brazil this month because it's a month of very cold temperatures in the south, especially Buenos Aires. They're not importing energy from Brazil because of the flooding in the region of Rio Grande do Sul, which doesn't allow us to send the energy through the converters. We're assessing alternatives, operational measures, so that we can eliminate this bottleneck referring to exports. And as soon as this is resolved, the trend is that Argentina will continue to demand energy, and the exports will be resumed once again. As this year, we don't have the competition of an excess of water as we had last year. We believe that the exports to Argentina will be serviced by outside generators, and there should be no difference vis-à-vis the scenario we saw previously, where the Parnaíba complex has very interesting competitiveness to service a significant part of the demand. We know that there are other players who may participate, and well, they could compete up to 400 or 500 megawatts, but in demand higher than this that we would already have in May, we will have interesting space to monetize the capacity we have at Parnaíba.
Very well. With that last question, we would like to conclude our conference call. Thank you all for your attendance, and we do hope to see you in the conference call for the.